Palm Sunday. Welcome everyone, and especially visitors today. And this is the really the first day of Holy Week. And yet, as the quartet has said, there was a holy highway leading to this week. What a busy, fulsome time Jesus has had up to this week. Remember down in Jericho, Bartimaeus, and still people moving through with Jesus and on their own coming towards Jerusalem to the festival of Passover. Blind man calls out, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." People are saying, "Be quiet, be quiet. He's on the way. The master's on his way to Jerusalem." But Jesus hears. And I just want to say to you this morning, through the singing, through the service, and through the day, and particularly through the week, I just want to invite you with all of the brothers and sisters to call out to Jesus this week for your need. This is the week. 52 weeks of the year, he hears your voice. But this week, will you just confess your need to him this week and call out to Jesus? And Jesus says to his disciples, "I hear that voice. Call him forward." And he comes forward. And he's told, "Your faith will make you whole." From Jericho up to Bethany, and there's this incredible, never seen before situation where friend Lazarus is dead. We know that because there was even the smell of death around the tomb. And Jesus is delayed in getting there. But as he thinks about Lazarus, his dear friend, he wept. We often talk about that as the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But today, I want to remind you that he wept another time. He wept as from Bethany, he moved towards Jerusalem on this day, those years ago, on Palm Sunday, and looked at Jerusalem. And Jesus wept. Wept with a compassion that was really the display of his great love, not for a walled city, but for every single boy and girl, man and woman on earth, with a love that the world has never known, but a love that everyone in the world is invited to know. The sent one. You have in your bulletins, Crystal's done a good job of giving us some notes. These are just my jottings for today. I tend to wander if I don't have some accountability on a sheet of paper here. And so we're going to read some scripture here. And some has been read to you already from Matthew, but one of the cool things about Palm Sunday is it's talked about in all four of the Gospels, with 10 sermons in each one of those Gospels, I'm sure. But here is one that we've taken from the Gospel of John, beginning at chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. A few verses later, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, who he'd raised from the dead. Now, the crowds would have been there regardless because of the festival. This is just what happened every year. Some people have said that Jerusalem became tenfold the number of people during this particular week. But there were also the chief priests who, at this time, behind the scenes, planned to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. There had been a resurrection of the dead. We could deal with the details of that, but the important thing was this was an incredible sign. Not only was Bartimaeus made well, and the whole holy highway was strewn with miracles and signs of Jesus, but here you have, in this week preceding the Holy Week, so much going on, and people were paying attention to that, and it was not helpful to the cause of the chief priests. The next day, the great crowd had come for the festival. They heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And here we are. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed to he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel." We have different accounts of this in terms of the details, more details in the other Gospels. But here we have in verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey, or the colt of a donkey, and he sat on it. As it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. You know, it's possible to be in the midst of circumstances and not know what's going on. Just nod your head if you've been there. Retrospective is so much clearer sometimes than immediate perspective. But Jesus, on that holy highway that our quartet sang about, he knew exactly what he was doing and where he was going. Even in Scripture we have, "And Jesus went straightway to Jerusalem," and here he is. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead spread the word. There were witnesses. That's what witnesses do. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So witness sometimes begets a crowd, other people who don't necessarily have firsthand experience, but have heard. So the Pharisees said to one another, folks, this just isn't working for us. Stick to the text. "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after them." A few verses later, this is Jesus. We hear his sentiments of the time. This is a highly passion-filled, emotional time. From the holy highway, pardon me for making so much of that, I just occurred in the song, to this holy week. Now Jesus is saying, "My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He knew what was coming. "No," Jesus says, "it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And have you seen this before? Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." Now the crowd was there and they heard it said. Some said that it thundered. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. An unusual experience. How do you explain this voice coming from heaven? Reminiscent of a baptism. Reminiscent of the Father's voice attesting to the sent one. And Jesus said to those who had witnessed the voice, "It was given for your benefit, not for mine. I've already got my marching orders. Now is the time for judgment on this world, and now the prince of this world will be driven out." Who's that? Satan. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. There'll be a judgment in this week. There will be defeat of death and of the devil in this week. And I will draw my people to myself as their Savior. Blessed be God. Hosanna. He saves. Jesus saves. So we've got whispers going on behind the scenes. We've got a realization from people who have witnessed Jesus raising up Lazarus from the dead. This just doesn't happen, but it did. We have people understanding that there's something special about this person, this long-awaited Messiah, and he's coming, not on a, as has been said even earlier in the service, on a military horse, and not even on a donkey, but on the colt of a donkey, in humility, as the shepherd, servant, king. As I was pondering this day, this week to come, this opportunity to think out loud with brothers and sisters, I was pondering the questions, what's going on here? Who are the actors? What are they sensing? What are they feeling? What's the big plan here? And it took me to a little book. This is a more of a children's version of it. It's called Chronicles of Man's Soul. This is the version that Ethel Barrett, a great children's storyteller, uses to tell the story of the allegory of John Bunyan's Holy War. And I thought of it because of the characters and what was going on there. And just very briefly, King Shaddai has seen that Diabolus has taken over this walled city, which is an allegory for the human soul. It has all the characters of the human soul. It's just a wonderful allegory to read. And this would be the week to read it or to listen to it. I've put some URLs on so you can do that. You can listen to Ethel Barrett reading this book. And it's all about us. So as we see Jesus looking from the Mount of Olives, from the back of a colt that's been covered with coats, heading into Jerusalem, he is heading into a physical city of Jerusalem in history. But at the same time, Jesus is heading in to save man's soul. The souls, the persons of people who have been taken over by the evil one. And John Bunyan, famous perhaps more so for Pilgrim's Progress, tells that story in ways that just really take us to that place. But what took me to even thinking about Bunyan's work was the Savior was and is Prince Emmanuel. And there's a place in the battle for man's soul where Prince Emmanuel, with others, the angels, is there looking down across the Kidron Valley from the Mount of Olives and looking at this city of man's soul, us, each of us, as if we were the only one on planet Earth, just you. And he wept. He wanted so much the life that was originally planned for each one of us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. to have a relationship with God. And yet, by our own sense of self-sufficiency, by the lying of the evil one, by the influence of the world, we had been stolen away and we had sinned. We'd followed the devices and desires of our own hearts, going our own way. But now Prince Emmanuel is coming to the rescue. In Holy Week, it's so important in my mind to realize that while Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but my peace do I give unto you. He also came for a battle with the evil one, a battle with death. And his desire to wonder about whether or not that cup should be taken away from him was all driven by a purpose. Why did he come? In your notes, it says he came to testify to the truth, to fulfill his promise that he would, to redeem Israel and the Gentiles so that they might glorify God, to destroy the works of the devil, to free the enslaved, to give sight to the blind, to call sinners to repentance, to save people who had missed the mark of living the perfect life so that they could come into the presence of a holy God. Something that only Jesus did. And it was only through his living a perfect life that he could die the perfect death so that then we could then come into personal relationship with him. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. Crystal clear in the gospel, the purposeful moved to Jerusalem. Perfectly clear to Jesus, even though others would not understand it until later, what it was all about. There were some, many, who believed that there ought to be and there was going to be an immediate, national, and forceful overthrow of the Romans. The Jews had been so used to people coming in, swatting them down, ruling over them. They were so tired of that. And even if you go back into the days of the Maccabees, you see lots of images and lots of examples in that 400 silent year period before Jesus of this hunger and thirst for a Messiah to come. And now, the sign performer, the word proclaimer, is right at the threshold in Jericho, in Bethany, on the Mount of Olives, and coming forward. And the people gathered around, they recognize this is the Holy One, the King who is going to rescue us from the tyranny of the Romans. This ongoing, persistent overlordship of pagans, people who don't allow us to live the life that we feel called to live as Jews. But Jesus had no intention of being the military king. He had no intention of an immediate physical, geographic, contained overthrow for a particular group of people. No. His view was eternal. His view was universal. And he was going to be the Prince, the King of Peace. Interesting, as we move into the week, that the whispers, the proclamations from heaven the shouts of Hosanna translated into crucify him, crucify him. We're just foreshadowing that. Why the change? Presumably some of the same people in the crowds. Barabbas believed that there should be an immediate and a national and a forceful overthrow of the powers. That's why he was a political, rebellious dissident, a murderer. That's what the people wanted, because that's all they could see, because they were short-sighted. Jesus didn't come to change their or our circumstances. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into our circumstances, as God with us, Emmanuel, Prince Emmanuel. And he came to actually put himself into our circumstances and ultimately to so identify with our circumstances that he took upon himself the sins of the world on the cross. His love required that he not just take people away from the temporal, the immediate, the geographic circumstances, but to enter in, to be the Savior, to be the Savior. Not just in time, not just in place, not for a particular group of people. And yes, they're special, but there is a Jesus in this story that sees much more. He sees each one of you, even outside of history. That is the history of the time we're talking about from this passage. And he saw you. And he sees your circumstances. And I said at the very beginning, will you call on him this week? Will you ask him into your circumstances? Fine, ask him to change your circumstances. He's done that before. But in whatever circumstances you find yourself, we have a Jesus who hears you. Oh, there may be a crowd of people calling out to him, but he hears you in your particular voice. And he'll come and he will help you to stand up under whatever temptation you're dealing with. He will give you whatever you need to do all that he's called you to do. This is Jesus. And friends, I think you know that a miracle is simply defined as Jesus being invited into a circumstance and doing what he's always done. His will, which is our best for us. This is Jesus. He didn't enter into Jerusalem to sit on a physical throne, but to leave to rule his kingdom, which he would say later in the Gospel of John in chapter 19, is not of this world. We need to pray today and through this week and in every day, thy kingdom come, King Jesus, on earth as it is in heaven. A little bit about the Holy Week. That's the Holy War. Do you see the conflict? Jesus is coming as the great peacemaker, not just to deal with the little skirmish that's been taking place, but to deal with it eternally. This is such a crucial week. Purity is the absence of something. Holiness is the presence of someone. And that someone is Jesus. And he's shown up. And he shows up at every beck and call. In the Holy Week, I just want to focus just briefly here on the person and work of Jesus. And I was on a roll with some fiction here, and I thought of some sitting around on the grass with college-age peers reading three different books. This is back in the 70s and 80s. One was called The Singer, The Song, and The Finale by Calvin Miller. And I thought, oh my goodness, why does this keep on coming back to me here? So it ends up in the notes. It comes back because the focus ought to be on the singer, the troubadour, Jesus, who has the message. What's the message? Well, just read why he was there, because he was always on purpose. Here's what I've come to do. I have come to love you, to save you, to transform you, and to do that in a way that's going to make a difference in terms of the order of God, the way that we were first created to reestablish my kingdom here on earth. That's the singers and the song. Calvin Miller had it as sort of the story of the book of Acts, but it really is the proclamation of that gospel, the text of what Jesus was singing. And then the finale, John Calvin's version, the book of Revelation. But for us, what we have in this week, in this holy week, is the first of two really crucial acts of a 4 or 5 act story. The crucifixion, where people exchanged temporal rebellion for eternal salvation as they crucified Jesus. On Sunday morning, it may very well be that you'll have proclaimed from a place where, right this place here, where I'm standing right now, someone may say, he is risen. And you might say, this is a rehearsal, you might say, he's risen indeed. Another shout, Hosanna, crucify him, but now he is risen indeed. The death for us. The resurrection, the firstborn from the dead, of Jesus are the first two acts. And there's a finale coming because we have a coming king as well. Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, just as you're reading it this week in any one of the four Gospels, look for the working of his prophetic office. As he not only spoke about what the week was going to be like and brought in scriptures, including ones that are in this text from Isaiah and other places in the Old Testament, written long before Jesus walked the face of the earth as God incarnate. In that prophetic office, Jesus rebuked people for their sin. Jesus proclaimed the word. He spoke of the new covenant, which is in my blood. He'd be doing that this week, in the Holy Week, and proclaiming his kingdom. He would be interpreting to sometimes deaf people, but nonetheless interpreting the events of this week, explaining to them, what he was about. And it was personalized too, because a lot of these had to do with him. That's the prophetic office. Clearly, throughout this week and on that holy highway, there was the priestly office that was being demonstrated by Jesus as he provided the role of being a mediator between God and man's soul, between God and us. As he loved, as he healed, as he transformed, and as he acted on all of our behalf, giving his life as a ransom for many. His kingly office. This is very often the attention of Palm Sunday. The kingly office in modern day parlance takes in the legislative, the judicial and the executive offices, John Locke's version of it. And Jesus was the executive. Jesus was and will be the judge. Jesus is the great legislative King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord over all. But he did it in a way that didn't meet the expectations of the people because they were they were navel gazers. They were just seeing things on the short term. They didn't understand. Every single human being, boy and girl, man, woman on earth, has this longing in their hearts for significance, a longing in their hearts for community, a longing in their hearts for transcendence, to be more today than I was yesterday and more tomorrow than I am today. And Jesus provides all of that by his love. We are significant. He puts us in community as he draws all of us together. And he gives us this opportunity to look to his cross. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, all women, all boys, all girls to myself. We'll wave palm branches as we should. We will shout, Hosanna. But I just wanted to encourage you today to remember that Jesus, when he went to the cross, was actually going to war. And I can tell you, he won. He won. He won. Let him win your heart today. Let him be the... Let him hear your cry to him. Jesus, in my circumstances, I need you today. Holy Highway, Holy War, Holy Week. God bless you.